of Mark. The Gospel according to St. Mark. And we're going to look at chapter 5, starting with verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV, the Pew Bible. As I had already said, I've been struggling on which direction to go, and the Bible that I picked up has a tear on the page where my text is. And so we want to make sure that we get the reading right. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. If you follow along as I read aloud, it is the Word of God. And when Jesus had crossed again into the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she had said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And when he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion and people wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumma," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat, the Word of God. Heavenly Father, as we have read your Word, we have had the privilege of hearing your inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God read in our ears. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord, for that reading. Thank you for that hearing. And now, Lord, may it penetrate our hearts. May it go deeper than even I can imagine. And may it be a timely message for us in our individual lives as well as our corporate lives as First Presbyterian. But above all, dear God, may you be glorified. And we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I had thought about many different directions and how we might go this morning, continuing to think about, pray about, read, look. on and so forth. And the message that continued to come to my mind, or the word that continued to come to my mind, was providence. The word providence. The providence of God. And how it is an invisible thing. And how it is a mighty and powerful thing. And how the providence of God, and His wisdom, and His judgment, and His leading of our life, there is a constant ebbing and flowing of God's divine providence that we don't always see in the middle of. In fact, oftentimes we can't see what's happening in the middle of our lives, in the middle of whatever situation it might be. It's sometimes after the fact. So these folks that we have read about this morning in Mark's gospel, they're living their lives. It was moment by moment, step by step, day by day, but maybe not seeing the handwriting on the wall, maybe not seeing the big picture. We are God's children, and God's children, He leads us and He guides us. But oftentimes we don't understand, right? We don't understand why He's leading in a certain way, why He's guiding in a certain direction, why He's doing one thing over another. Understanding the providence of God and His sovereignty is such a powerful thing. And that's where I want us to spend some time together this morning. Admittedly, not what some of you may call a sermon, because it is one of more of a reflection. What we're going to look at this morning is a message. It is a sermon. It is a reflection on this story, this true gospel story that we have read. I think one of the things that drew my attention toward this message of God's providence began with a patient visit this week, as most of you know, but I'll restate that I'm a hospice chaplain in Paducah, and I had gone into one of our nursing homes to visit one of our new hospice patients. I hadn't seen this man before. I came in, introduced myself to him, and he said, "God bless you." And for some reason, I said, "How has God blessed you?" And he said, "Well, not much lately. Here is a, forget how old, 60, 70-year-old man, perhaps, maybe older, laying in a hospital bed in a nursing home, on his back, chewing on a cigar, because you can't smoke in nursing homes in Kentucky. How that works in Indiana, but it doesn't fly in Kentucky and Illinois. Chewing on a cigar. His wife is present in the room. And I say, "How is God blessing you?" And he says, "He's not." I didn't really question that in my mind. I didn't think, "Oh, ye of little faith, what do you have to complain about? What do you, you know," just the empathy part of me was like, "Yeah, I think I would probably say something like that." If I didn't say it, I would have thought it. Not much. Not blessing me much. Because we typically see God's blessing as good things that we call good. And in reality, God's blessings or God's providence are His and His alone, and He leads them and He directs them, and we live it. We live it. And whether it's an up or a down, or what I want to call a sweet providence or a bitter providence, it is still nonetheless the providence of God. Think about these folks in this story. Here is Jesus. Now, He has been on the other side of the sea. He was over there healing a demon-possessed man. A man who lived in the tombs of the Gerasenes. He was demon-possessed. He could not be chained, for He broke those chains. He could not be tamed. He was wild. He was wildly possessed by a demon. And Jesus told that demon to come out. And that was a sweet providence for him, don't you know? So much, he said, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I want to be one of your disciples. And Jesus said, no, 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 stay here. Tell your family, tell your friends what sweet providence has taken place in your life today. Those demons, legion, many demons, left that man and went into a herd of swine. For that man who owned that herd of swine, that was a bitter providence for him. We don't know much about that part of the story, but you know, for him, that was quite a loss. But yet it was God's providence. So that's what's taking place before our reading. So we see in verse 21 that now Jesus is coming back. Jesus has crossed over back to where he was, to the other side. And a multitude of people began to gather around him as he and the disciples get out of the boat. And one of them is a man by the name of Jairus. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. Now something had been going on in his life. Something hard. He, his wife, had at least one little girl. She's 12 years old, we've already read. And she's sick. Sick to the point of death. Sick to the point of death. We don't know the backstory. Had she been sick a long time? Had she had some chronic illness that plagued her even from birth? Or was it a fever that struck up? Or was it a cancer that came up immediately and was bringing her to death's door? We don't know. But we could reflect on what that must have been like. To have a 12-year-old daughter sick to the point of death. And all that had been taking place. To get to the point, like we sometimes do, say, well, nothing else has worked. Guess we just have to pray and leave it to the Lord. Now, don't lie to yourself. Because you and I both have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to trust in our own understanding first. And then when that doesn't work out, we'll just have to trust the Lord now. Now we're going to pray about it. I don't know. I'm not laying an accusation at their doorstep. But they have reached a point where what this particular ruler of the synagogue said, or maybe his wife said, go get the master. Go get Jesus. And providentially, he was standing there, maybe for a while, waiting. Where's Jesus? Well, he's over there on the other side. I assume he'll be back. And there he stood, and there he waited. For how long, we don't know. But here comes Jesus. At least here comes a boat. Here comes a boat. It gets a little closer. Here comes a boat with several men in it. Gets a little closer. That's Jesus. Hope starts to be created in his heart. The bitter providence that he has been living starts to get a little sweeter. And here comes the boat, and it docks, and Jesus and his men get out, and Jairus says, my daughter is sick. She is so sick. She is sick to the point of death. Come, please, lay hands on her. And he said, yes, we'll do that. And don't you know that they walk with intentionality, with purpose. In their steps. We are going. We are going to my house. Jesus is coming to my house. He's going to lay his hands on my daughter, and she's going to be made well. The bitter providence is moving aside for a moment with a glimmer of hope in what may come. And so they're making haste. They're making path. They're headed to Jairus' house. This throng of people, they just keep surrounding him. More and more people. The further Jesus and the others were walking, the more followers came and literally followed around him and thronged him. A crowd of people. A massive crowd of people. And you know what happens when there's a massive crowd of people, particularly around one particular item or person, it gets tighter and tighter and the mobility gets less and less. Meanwhile, Jairus is likely thinking to himself, come on, we've got a schedule here. We don't know how much longer my daughter has to live. We've got to go. Maybe he was shouting, come on, let him through, let him through. I'm reading into it a lot, I understand. But I want us to look into that and see that they would have gone through the same thing we went through. And now the crowd has stopped. And Jesus says, someone just touched me. And the disciples, I think, sarcastically said, obviously, you've got a crowd of people around you. Obviously, someone has touched you. What are you talking about? Someone has touched me. No, it's not what I mean. Someone touched me and I felt power come out of my body. And this little old lady who had been fighting this sickness, this blood disease, and the flowing of blood for 12 years, as long as this child had been alive. For 12 years, this child had been alive. On her birthday, maybe. On her birth date, maybe. This lady began to experience this issue of blood. For 12 years, she suffered. And suffered at the hands of many doctors, the scriptures tell us. What a bitter providence. What a bitter providence that she must have lived for 12 years with a chronic illness, a chronic sickness that could not be healed. And in faith, she says, if I just touch the garment of Jesus, I will be healed. And we can talk about prayer, and we can talk about healing, and we can talk about the compassion that he had on the people. But what I wanted us to see in this reflection this morning is the very simple fact of bitter and sweet providences. You see the pattern, don't you? You see the ebb and flow. Can you see that in your own life even now? The ebb and flow of the providences of God. This woman's 12 years of bitter providence came to an end. And in a moment of healing and restoration and feeling in her own body, this blood, the fountain of blood, drying up. Sweet providence enters the picture. She is happy. She is tearful. She is fearful. It was me, Lord. I touched you. A bitter providence moves to sweet providence. Meanwhile, poor Jairus is over here going, I had my hopes up, and now I've just got news that my daughter has died. You see, he must have had it in his mind, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go now, I'm going to leave the house, I'm going to go find Jesus, I'm going to bring him back. If it's the last thing I do, honey, I'm going to bring him back, and you're going to be healed. And then it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. They're stopped by a providence of God. Because Jairus didn't know the whole picture. He didn't know, he didn't calculate into his mind and into his thinking and into his faith that God might have some other plan other than the way I have lined it out. Oh, wow. How many times do we line out in our mind, this is the way something is going to go, and we're disappointed and disappointed. Because that's not the way we had it in our mind. But a providence came and interrupted. Don't bother the master anymore, if the house servant says to the synagogue leader, she has died. I have not experienced the death of a child. I have seen and I have been witness to the death of the child. The first one that I ever attended, the first death of a five-year-old, of a child, still plagues my mind. So helpless, so sad, so even made me speechless. But they tell me of all the griefs that I work in and talk about with people all day long. But that's the worst kind of grief, losing a child. Losing a child. This child has died. Don't bother the master anymore. A worse kind of bitter providence
kind of bitter providence has come to their household. Their little girl, 12-year-old child, think of your child when they were 12. Think of your grandchild that might be 12 in that age category, and what the loss must feel like. And maybe you've experienced the loss of a child, and you know firsthand more than I do for certain on many levels of a bitter providence. But the story's not over. Jesus comes to the house and says, she's not dead. She's sleeping. They mock him. What kind of a fool? What kind of an idiot? What kind of a rabbi? What kind of a master says that this child is not dead? The master of all masters. And says to the little girl, I say to you, arise. And then sweet providence comes back into the house. Their daughter is not only sick, was not only sick, not only died, but was made whole, raised from the dead. So, all throughout just this one passage, and it was this passage that I read in my prayer time this week, one particular day, I don't know, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, I was just struck by the providence of God in that devotional time. I even read further, and the next day I had to go back and read it again. Such a powerful story. Such a story that shows us the providences of God. And I left on, it's called Report Line, but we have a general voicemail for hospice that we all listen to about confidential patient information. And I left this devotion. It was a lot shorter than this one. But I left this devotion on the report line. And after telling the story on this voicemail, I said, I don't know what you're waiting on, but the story is not over. Their story continued. We're not privy to that information, but we are privy to the fact that as their life continued, their story continued. And in your life, in my life, there are sweet providences of God. You get a call from the doctor, or you see posted on my chart that says, no cancer was found, and you are elated. You are delighting in the Lord. You are grateful. Oh, thank you, Lord. No cancer was found. That is a good image of a sweet providence of God. But when you get the news that you have cancer, like your friends, others, that's not a sweet providence. Usually that's a very bitter providence. Because His ways are higher than our ways. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that in Christ, we have His promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. And I guess that what I want us to come out on the other side, and in closing, on coming out on the other side, the end of this message, I want us to understand that whatever it is you and I are going through in our lives right here, right now, I don't know what those are for you. You don't know what those are for me unless we talk and share, right? But we're going through something. And you might think that it's all over. Things couldn't get any worse. Things have to get better. Where do you go but from up when you're at rock bottom? Let these people's lives be a story of power and reflection in our own hearts that God is the sovereign controller of your life and of your story and all of His. And things come our way, up and down and ebb and flow, good and bad, sweet and bitter. That happens. God didn't promise us as believers that it wouldn't happen. We just go through it with Him as opposed to without Him. We go through it with hope as opposed to without hope. We go through it with faith as opposed to faithlessness. So I don't know what that is for you. And I don't know where this lands in your heart.
Maybe it went over the head and under the feet, and you're left wondering. I don't know what God had in mind there, but it didn't mean anything to me. Well, that's all right, I suppose. But maybe it did. Maybe it's hitting home with somebody. Maybe it wasn't just for me to read this in my own personal devotion. Maybe it just wasn't to put out so that my other chaplains and nurses and administrators and social workers and bath aides could hear about the providence of God. Maybe it's for all of us, and maybe it's for someone you know. But know this, that God is sovereign, even over the details of our lives. Let's be thankful that He is. Because if God were not sovereign over the details of our lives, much, much worse things would happen. Heavenly Father, I hope that you have been pleased with this reflection, that it has brought great joy to your ears, that we are encouraged by your word, and that though we read the story of Jairus and this poor woman and the crowds of people in someone else's hindsight, we live something present, but we can't see this clearly. But let the text and the Spirit of God move along our hearts and give us eyes to see, eyes of faith, that whatever we're going through, it may be bitter, it may be sweet, but nonetheless, one of your providences. And help us to give you praise and glory for it. And we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.